Praise God. Have a look at Galatians chapter 3. We have been talking about faith. And you must never be tired of hearing faith. Hallelujah. In chapter 3 of Galatians, verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? You receive the Holy Spirit by the hearing of faith, not because you do something, but by the hearing of faith and appropriating what God declares. Verse 5, therefore he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? The reason you must never get tired of hearing faith is because it's by the hearing of faith that the miraculous occur. Are you okay? God is a God of miracles. If there is no miracles in the gospel, then the gospel is invalid. Jesus needed to perform miracles, not just for miracles' sake, but because miracles is part and parcel of the good news of the gospel. And if there is a gospel without the miraculous, then it's not the gospel in the Bible. Are you all right? What's the name of that president? Jefferson? What's his first name? Thomas Jefferson. He loved the Bible. But he was a man of the age of enlightenment. That is, reason is God. Everything has to be reasoned out. And if there's no reason for something, then it doesn't really matter. Logic is above God and logic is God. And he would cut his Bible and would put all the great sayings in the Bible in his own Bible kind of thing. But he cut out all the miracles. He didn't believe in miracles. And unless something can be logically explained, it can't happen. He didn't believe in miracles. He may have been a great president, but he did not believe in miracles. The gospel is a gospel of good news. And the good news is that the gospel is a miraculous gospel. And it comes by the hearing of faith. Are you okay? Hallelujah. And last week we talked about the test of our faith. And we said that there are a number of things that you have to be very aware of when your faith is tested. You need to be aware of where you're looking. You need to be aware of what you're saying. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to know where you're looking at, what you're looking at, and you need to be aware of the things that you say. The Bible says Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. He was looking at something and he endured because he saw that. Hallelujah. The Bible says we are to walk by faith. That means we are to walk according to the light of the Word. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And many times what we know intellectually and what the Bible says oftentimes conflict. And many times we take one pathway or the other. And sometimes we don't like the things the Bible says, so we just do it our way. Are you okay? But your faith is going to be tested whether you like it or not. Everything in life has to be tested. The washing machine you use has been tested. The car that you drive has been tested. The fishing rod that you use has been tested. The nylon on the fishing rod, that has been tested. Everything in life, and your faith included, is going to be tested. And there are reasons why your faith is going to be tested by God. Tested by circumstances. And sometimes we get confused. Is it the devil or is it God? God is trying to test you and the devil is tempting you. And God is trying to protect you and the devil is trying to kill you. And you need to discern what's going on. That's why in a test of faith, the Bible says you need wisdom. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Have a look at James chapter 1. Glory to God. You hungry? James chapter 1 verse 2. Brethren, my brethren. That means he's talking to you and me. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. It did not say it is joyous, but he says you count it as joy. It's not joyous, but you count it as joy. Hallelujah. You count it as joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You can actually be perfect. You can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And the reason why your faith is tested is so that patience can be produced in your life. Now, patience is a commodity we can't afford. Because every one of us don't want it. I want my ice cream now. I want my cup of tea now. I want my hamburger now. And I want my KFC now. I want my meal now. And it's always now. And now faith is. We want it now. But the Bible says that your faith is tested so that patience can be produced in your life. How many people here need patience? Just about 100%. How many people here pray for patience? That's a very dumb prayer. I never pray for patience. It's not a very wise prayer. We'll get into that in a minute. But the Bible says, when patience has done its perfect work, you will be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. And the trial of your faith is to produce patience, so that in the end, you may be entire. You may be complete. The testing of your faith, the outcome is that you may be complete, wanting nothing. Now, it will be great when you're complete. So don't ask God to get the church up there. The church is not complete yet. We've got tongues in the church and they're very impatient. We got Samoans in the church and they don't have patience. We got Egyptians in the church and they don't have patience. They love to fight. Hello? You didn't think there was an Egyptian in the church? Stand up. All right? Give him a hand. Are you okay? So, the testing of your faith is so that patience can be produced. And when patience has done its perfect work, that's why you're married to the one you're married to. That's why you live next door to the guy you live next door to. They are neighbor from hell. You want to kill them. But they are there so that patience can be produced in you. Your wife may be an extension of the Antichrist, but she's not actually the Antichrist. All right? Neither is your husband. Are you okay? Now, don't be put off by the word perfect. The word perfect in the Bible means ripe. Something is ripe for the picking. Something is matured enough to eat. When a banana is green, the only people that eat it are Samoans. They boil the green banana and use it like a potato. But the banana, when the banana is green, is not actually perfect. The banana, when it's yellow and dotted brown, that's when the banana is perfect. It's mature, it's at its sweetest, and that's it's matured enough for you to partake and eat. Many of you Europeans, you don't eat ripe bananas, you eat half-ripe bananas. It's full of sap. If you want the banana to have no sap, wait until the skin is dotted brown, then you can eat it. It's the sweetest the banana will ever be. So, what the Bible says is, God wants the fruit of your life to be matured, to be sweet, so that people can taste and see that God is good. Why? Because a tree never eats its own fruit. Have you ever seen a tree eat its own fruit? No. The fruit of your life is observed by others, and others partake of the fruit of your life, and they taste of what God has done, and they know that the God that you serve, the God in you, is the real God. And when they partake of the fruit of your life, they know that God is good, because the only Bible they know is you. If they don't know God, the only God they know is you, and the fruit of your life they partake. Why? Because the tree doesn't eat its own fruit. Are you okay? So your faith is tested so that you may be perfect. You may be matured, wanting nothing. Now, when a person, a mature person, who walks with God, many times you never think he's got problems. Because they never complain. It doesn't matter what happened. They seem to just walk. And it seems like their walk has no bends. They don't go through crooked places. They just seem to walk right through. It seems like the road they walk has no crooked places. Well, actually, there are crooked places in their walk. There are valleys in their walk. There are mountains in their walk. But because they walk by faith, faith has a way of raising the valleys and lowering the mountains and making the paths of God straight. Because when we walk by faith, they just seem to be like that. When Mr. Meelings was going through something on the side of his face, the only reason you people knew there was something wrong was because the coloration of his face was different. But you see him come to church. You see him lift his hands. You see him drop. It didn't seem to matter. And people think when you walk by faith, they actually, everybody has problems. But the one that is matured because they've been through the fire of the testing of God. Hallelujah. They seem to walk straight and they seem to not have any valleys or mountains. Why? Because they walk by faith. They're matured, wanting nothing, and even though they have tremendous needs, they never tell you. Are you okay? But when they come through the other side, being tested by fire, and come through the other side, they have a story that will bless you. But your faith is going to be tested. Unfortunately, many people are very intellectual in their faith, but they never allow their faith to be tested. Hallelujah. Count it as joy when your faith is tested, because it produces patience that produces perfection, maturity. Hallelujah. Are you okay?
Say amen.
When you meet a new minister, you know, he's so ecstatic, fantastic, great. He prayed for the sick and the sick got healed. He can't shut them up. It's fantastic. It's great. But then a few years later, you meet them again. You say, what happened? They've just been through the fire. Are you okay? Amen. Have a look at Romans 5. We're getting somewhere. You are allowed to say amen in this Presbyterian church. If you're a Presbyterian, don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Chapter 5, Romans, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You are justified by faith. Now that's an amazing statement. Because everything has been provided for your justification. Jesus Christ has died. Jesus Christ has shed His blood. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. Jesus Christ has ascended to heaven. He died so that He can become Lord of the dead and the living. And everything for your justification has been provided. But if you don't access it by faith, you'll die and go to hell forever, even though everything's been provided. And the Bible says we have peace with God because of faith. Why? Because we access the cross of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. We imbibe everything that God has provided by faith. And even though this reservoir of provision has been provided, it will do you no good if you don't access it by faith. Are you still in Romans 5? Let's read on. It's first and in verse 2. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace. We have access by faith into this grace. Grace is everything that you ever happens to you is by the grace of God. You're not here because you have a right to be here. You're not here because you have a right to be here. You're here by the grace of God. You're going to see tomorrow, not because you have a right to see tomorrow, but you'll see tomorrow by the grace of God. You may live until about 100, but not because you deserve 100 years. You live to 100 by the grace of God. The Bible says we access that grace by faith. And we said before that faith is the currency of the kingdom. It's the money of the kingdom. It's what you transact in. Whatever you transact in the kingdom, it's transacted by faith. Faith is the currency, not dollars, not euro, not pesos, not baht. It's faith. The thing is, the fantastic thing about that is, a Maori can have faith. A disobedient Tongan can have faith. A terrible Samoan can have faith. A Palangi can have faith. Anybody can have faith. A professor can have faith. And a housewife can have faith. And every one of us has a measure of faith given by God. Every one of us have a word, the Bible. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. And everyone has the opportunity not only to have a measure of faith imparted. Everyone has the opportunity to hear faith. And everyone has the opportunity to access this grace by faith. You can be skinny as a rake and have faith. You can be fat and have faith. You can be good looking and have faith. You can be ugly and have faith. You can smell nice and have faith. Or you can be old and still have faith. And everybody has the same opportunity to access this grace by faith. Are you all right? Say amen. It says, through whom we have access by faith into this grace, in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in that hope of the glory of God. Now, every time there's a miracle, the miracle reveals the glory of God. When Jesus performed the first sign in Cana of Galilee, the Bible says, and this first sign he performed and reveal and show forth the glory of God. So every time something happens that is not ordinary, it reveals the glory of God to those that live by faith, trusting in Him. Are you okay? Amen. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 3. And not only that, not only do we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, so not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. We rejoice in difficulties. We glory in tribulations. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of you have NIV. Has anybody got a King James Bible? Anybody got a King James Bible? Can I have it, please? Yeah. Thank you. Paul preached from the King James. And so I'll preach from the King James too. All right. Can I have your glasses? I can see it, but hallelujah. It says, and not only that, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulations worketh patience. The same thing James said, Paul said, tribulation, the trial of our faith, tribulation will work in ourselves this commodity called patience. So when you ask God for patience, how does God answer the prayer? God will tribulate you. You've got enough tribulation without asking for more tribulation. I've got enough problems without asking God to give me more problems. I'm just trying to work through the one. I've got patience enough through the one that I'm going through, not asking God for more. So don't pray for patience, because when you do, you'll get more tribulation. Why? Because tribulation gives you patience. That's why it's a dumb prayer. I never pray for patience. I've got enough problems, pray for more problems. But the trial of your faith produces patience. It produces patience. See, sometimes miracles happen right there. Sometimes they don't. You need patience before the miracle happens. And sometimes we don't even have the fortitude to wait for the miracle to happen. We leave before God even answers the prayer. We get, what do we kick him out here? I serve you. Can you imagine John in the island of Patmos, lean on the bosom of Jesus, and then, you know, boiled in oil? That's not in the Bible, that's history. Boiled in oil, they stir it up, and he's not even in the cauldron of oil, he's gone. And because he gets out of the oil so often, they got ticked off with him, so they put him in an island called the Island of Patmos, and they have man-eating sharks around the place, so he can't get out. I'm glad he's not a woman, because he would have got out. They had man-eaters. Are you all right? Now, can you imagine that if he said, here I am, I'm working for you, and this is what I get. I could boil in oil and I could put to the place. And there's no companions there. There's just people that know how to mind the tin. And I'm... Hello? Now, how many of us complain to God when we can't even butter our bread? We haven't even been boiled yet. Let alone thrown into an island with man-eaters around it. But in that island... God turned up and said, come up hither. Let me show you what's going to happen. You want to see a movie? You want to see the stars? You want to see Star Wars? Star Wars. But the Bible says, the trial of your faith produces patience, and patience experience. Now, sometimes you need patience because the miracle does not always happen like that. The prophet said to his servant, go up to Mount Rebehu and look out and see if you can see Middle Earth. He went up, he came down, said, I see nothing. Okay. Go up again and look out Castle Cliff. See, way up. And he came down and said, nothing. See, when your faith is tried, it's very important what you are looking at. And he said, go up again. Now, this three times now. And you know, this Maori boy doesn't like being told to do things. And he said, I'm going to skin that Pākehā prophet. And he comes down. He said, nothing. I said, go back up. Five times. Nothing. Are you all right? Who do you think I am? A dog? Then run up. Run up. I've just run up five times before. Go up again. See, sometimes you have to ask and keep on asking. You have to knock and keep on knocking. You have to seek and keep on seeking. Because he that asks will be given. He that knocks, it will be opened. And he that seeks will find. But you need patience. Patience will give you experience. And many people never experience God because they never had patience enough to stand. The Bible says, having done all to stand, shut up and stand. Stand. Hallelujah. Remember that unrighteous judge? Not afraid of anybody, not afraid of God, doesn't fear God, nor afraid of man. And here comes this old Maori lady. I want my land back. Dunk, dunk, gone. Open his courthouse the following week. I want my land back. I told you yesterday, get out of here. The law is the law. Go. Third day, I want my land back. Get. I want my land back. And then the Bible says, the judge thought, I better do something about this. You know what the Bible says? That Jesus will find that kind of faith when he returns. That kind of faith. Faith that is tested, has patience. And the Bible says, patience, experience. Many people have never experienced a miracle because they've never stood with patience. You are impatient. You want a miracle. And you want it yesterday. But you don't want to stand. Hallelujah. Here comes this old prophet. Said to this very fine general. Powerful man. He said, go and dip yourself in the Whanganui River. Have you seen that river? It flows on its back. We've got better rivers. He said, go and dip yourself in the river. And the servant of the general said, your problem is you've conquered too many kingdoms. You think that you deserve. The man only asked you to go and dip yourself in the Jordan. It's the most famous river in history. The longest river in the world is the Nile. Second to that is another river in South America, the, what do you call it? Amazon River. Crosses the Pacific 3 times. You can actually get clear drinking water. Well, it's not clear, but normal water. 50 kilometers in the sea at the mouth of the Amazon River. But even though the Nile is the longest, the most famous is the Jordan. The Savior was baptized there. So here goes the general, you know, and he dips down, gets up, and he's still a leper. He dips down, gets up again, he's still a leper. He dips down, gets up, but he's still a leper. He probably thought, I'm going to cut the head off that prophet. But when he gets down the 7th time, when he got up, he said, can I take some Israeli soil? Can I take some soil over to Syria so that I can kneel on the soil from Israel? And hello? Sometimes you've never experienced a miracle because you don't like the trial that produces patience. The trial of your faith produces patience, and patience experience. Hallelujah. One of the things I like about the young people is some of them have never experienced a miracle, but they still live for God. To them, a miracle is getting a cell phone. They don't know if they grow up a little bit and have a job, they can have their own cell phone. Hallelujah. But then the Bible says, hallelujah, patience experience and experience hope. I want you to see the trial of your faith produces patience. Patience produces experience, and experience produces hope. Now, why do you hope that God will do something for you tomorrow? You know why? Because you have experienced Him yesterday. The reason your hope is charged for more of God is because you actually have experienced God. And if you've never experienced God, you've got nothing to hope for. But when you experience God, you can, born out of that experience, hope that the God who performed yesterday is the same God that performs today. It's the same God that will perform tomorrow. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And because I've had an experience with God, I can have hope that the God that gave me that will do it again. Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Some of you just need to stand long enough to experience a miracle. Don't run away. Some people come here and I see them come to the altar and God, and next time they're gone. Stay. Stay until you see the glory of God. Stay until you experience God. Because when that experience comes, it gives you hope and more hope. I'm not angry. Are you okay? Now, the Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed. Many of our hope shames us. But hope that is born of experience, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shared abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. When you experience faith, it gives you hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. You know, God does not want to shame you. The only people God has ever shamed is the arrogant and the proud. But when your heart is towards God, you will never be ashamed. Now, the amazing thing about the miracle, the sign of the wedding at Cana of Galilee, is that miracle was not a miracle of salvation. It was a miracle to save the face of the family. It was just saving face. If you want to save face, God wants to save face. God wants you never to be ashamed. That's why he performed the miracle. Because in that culture, to run out of wine in that culture is a shameful thing for the family. And his mother saw, and she said to him, "Son, no one else here can help but you." And there are times when you run out of wine and no one can replenish that but him. And then his mother said to the men that were ushering, "Whatever he tells you to do, do that." But he performed the miracles not to heal somebody, not to deliver somebody from demonic oppression. He performed the miracle so the family can be saved of face. Culturally, that's a shameful thing. And Jesus wanted to save face. Where I come from, the most shameful thing in a Samoan culture is have a do, an event, and not enough food. Shameful. I don't care what you do. When we have something, bring so much food, nobody can eat it. Let me ask you, how many are mathematicians here? How many can add and subtract? All right, 5 plus 2 is what? 5 plus 2 is what? 8. Go back to school. 5 plus 2 is 7. It is 7 in Italy. It is 7 in Israel. It is 7 in Korea. It's 7 in Rarotongan. 5 plus 2 is 7. In God, 5 plus 2 is 5,000 men and 15,000 women and children and 12 baskets left over. 5 plus 2 is a whole feast with 12 baskets left over. I want our church, when we do stuff, let there be 12 baskets left over. But don't have any do with not enough food. I'll just go home and go to sleep. It's a shameful thing. We had pizza with the pastor 2 years ago. The new ones that come to church, we have a pizza with the pastor. You know, guess what? We didn't have enough food. It was shameful. Order enough pizzas to feed the church. Don't have a budget. Just get the food. Let there be 12 baskets left over after everybody's eaten. I'm just talking now culturally. All right? But don't you get me to be shamed in front of visitors. If we have a hakere, just get enough food to feed the whole church plus. What is the point of what I'm saying? The point is this. Jesus performed a miracle to save face. If Jesus does that, do you think he doesn't care about you saving face? The Bible says, hope maketh not ashamed. Hope will not make you ashamed. Experience hope. Hope maketh not ashamed, Because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Are you okay? Are you tired of listening to me? Huh? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. I'll go back to my New King James now. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. And then we can go home and eat. 3. Hallelujah. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope. Living hope. Hallelujah. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. You have to go to heaven because you've got an inheritance to claim. All right? If you don't, that's your fault, but I'll claim yours. Are you okay? Verse 5. Kept in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith. Kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Verse 6. In this you greatly rejoice. Same thing. Glory. Rejoice. All right? In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Why are you tried? Because it needs to be tried. If need be, you are grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, to prove the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes. Hallelujah. Though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory. It needs to be tested to find its genuineness, that in the end, we give Him glory. We give Him glory. And many times, the problems that come into your life, hallelujah, are not accidental. Some problems are accidents. Many problems that come are not actually accidental. Hallelujah. They are divine appointments. Hallelujah. They come, they look like problems, but they are divine appointments. Hallelujah. And like most miracles, they are opportunities that come disguised as problems. Let me say something, then we'll finish. How many know the Red Sea was a problem? How many know the Red Sea is one of the greatest historical, significant, hallelujah, defining moment? The problem became a defining moment. The bitter waters of Marah was a defining moment. The lack of food was a defining moment. Goliath was a problem, but it was a defining moment. The lion and the bear were problems, but they were defining moments. And the problem of the no wine was a defining moment. Many things that come our way are not accidental. They are miracles disguised as problem, and God wants us to wait and see the glory of God. Some of you are trying to run away when you need to stand. Hallelujah. Dwight L. Moody tells a story about a shipwreck. A ship in the middle of a storm was coming into the Cleveland Harbor. And the captain was looking for the lower lights at the shore. There's a big, big harbor light, but he was looking for the lower lights. And he couldn't see. And there was a question, are we at the right harbor? I said, yeah. But where are the lower lights? All distinguished by the storm. People that were manning the lower lights were no longer there. So the ship was wrecked. A man named Philip Bliss wrote us a hymn about that storm. Brightly beams our Father's mercy from the lighthouse evermore, but to us he gives the keeping of the light along the shore. Let the lower lights be burning. Send a gleam across the wave. Some poor sailing, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. You have to look after the lower lights. If we do our part, see, every miracle has two people, God and you. Moses can't open the Red Sea, and God will not open the Red Sea. God needs Moses, and Moses needs God. David can't kill Goliath. God won't do it, but David and God can do it. It does not matter what the miracle is. There are always two people that are involved, you and your God. And when you keep the lower lights burning, when you stand your ground in the midst of adversity, you will experience a miracle that will give you hope for the future, because you've experienced the goodness of God in the land of the living. And everyone here is a candidate for a miracle. You just need to do your part. Hallelujah. And let God do His part. The Bible says the things that are unknown, the things that are mysteries, that are, those things that you don't know, belong to God. The things that you know, you have to do that. When we keep the lower lights burning, God is the lighthouse. It'll keep on going. If you will do your part, you will experience a miracle that will charge your hope, that will never make you ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Bow your heads. Hallelujah. Father, I pray today that there will be a people whose faith is tenacious in the midst of adversity. Those that will knock and keep on knocking. Those that will ask and keep on asking. Those that will seek and keep on seeking. Lord, you test our faith so that we might know the genuineness of our own faith. You are Alpha and the Omega. You know the beginning and the end. You know how we're going to do, but we don't. But we need to know that ourselves, that we may experience you, not just a hearer of the word, but a doer only. That we will not be self-deceived, but we be doers of the work that will bring glory to your name. So, Father, I pray for these dear ones. As we sit under the sound of your word, help our faith, Lord God, that we may reach out and imbibe by faith the grace that is available to us. If you're here today and you know, Pastor, that's me. Pastor, that was me you're talking about. I've been through that. I come out disappointed because I did not know. And sometimes I blame God. But that's me. Can you pray for me? If that's you, I want you to stand where you're sitting. I want to include you in the prayer. Ask God to touch your life. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Just stand to your feet. And we'll pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. You need to experience God for yourself. So that nobody can say this and that. You say, I know this is what happened. Paul said, I know him in whom I have believed. He knew his Savior. Hallelujah. If you're here today, you've never made Christ the Lord of your life. You've never experienced the goodness of God, the saving grace of the Lord. I want you to stand as well. Hallelujah. 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 Let me pray. Father, you know each one of us by name. You want us to respond when you ask us to. You've spoken to us, Lord God, your word. And you're looking for a response from our hearts. I pray for everyone that is standing today. And I stand with them. And I ask you, Lord, that you will bless their lives. That there will be a tenacity to stand even in the midst of adversity. And keep the lower light burning. Do what we are supposed to do. We do the possible. You do the impossible. But help them and help us all to stand. Having done all that we have done and are supposed to do. Help us to stand. Even as Moses declared. Stand and see the glory of God. The ones the enemy you see today, you will never see again. Father, I pray that you will bless these dear ones. Bless our lives. May we experience the goodness of God in the land of the living. That our hope will be charged. And our hope will not make us ashamed. Because we know that God loves us. We know that our God is with us. And we know that the love of God is shed abroad our hearts. By the Holy Spirit. So for everyone standing, Father, touch them right now. Bless them right now. Minister to them, I pray. Hallelujah. Touch their hearts as they reach out to you to access your grace by faith. Lord, do them good. I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Stand with us.